It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We're presently studying in the book of John, chapter 3. Now, we've discussed the entire chapter, but I'd like to go back and look at a couple of verses within John chapter 3. And the Bible is plain. In verse 33, it says, "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." Now, when we get saved, when we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, and we've acknowledged the fact that He is the only way to heaven, we get saved. The Bible says that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Now, I know that verse is not teaching that, but I'd just like for you to understand that when we get saved, we're saved for eternity. There is nothing that can take that away from us. I once heard a person make this statement. Now, we know in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it talks about everlasting life. But I heard this one individual, this man, make mention of hell. He was making fun of those individuals who say that hell is an everlasting, eternal place of punishment. And he made mention that the word everlasting does not mean forever. Well, I don't know where this guy's from. I don't know if he, I really don't understand a person like that, because the Bible is plain when it says everlasting. We not only have everlasting, eternal life with Jesus Christ once we've trusted Him as Savior, but the Bible does teach that there's an everlasting hell, that those people who have never received Christ will spend eternity. And this is something that this man needed to comprehend. Whether he's saved or lost, I don't know. I don't know his heart, but the Bible is plain. I can tell you this, he doesn't believe the Bible. He does not believe the Word of God. And therefore, he is in great danger. And that person who says that hell is not for eternity, they're badly mistaken. But notice back in John chapter 3, once again, "He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true." And we back up a few verses. And the Bible says in verse 32, "And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony." I'd like to liken this verse as well to someone who's giving out the Word of God. Sometimes we as people of God, we get discouraged because we present Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. We share the gospel with individuals who need the gospel. And by the way, that's everybody in this world. We share the gospel with individuals, and it seems like sometimes they just do not pay attention. They don't listen. And they do not want to be saved, it would appear. Well, notice that verse says that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. I would say to you today, do not get discouraged. Do not let the devil get the upper hand. Keep telling people about Jesus Christ. Keep telling people that Jesus saves, and that one day, If they will trust Him as Savior, they'll see Him personally in heaven. And the fact is that we are ambassadors for Christ. And as ambassadors, those of us who have trusted Jesus, we are ambassadors. And we're to serve Jesus Christ and continually give out the Word of God until He calls us home. Either the body loses the breath of life and we go to be with Jesus Christ, that's death, nor He comes back in the clouds and says, "Come up hither to rapture the church." We are ambassadors. And just as an ambassador in a foreign country, let's say this one country sends an ambassador to another country, they are ambassadors until that country, their sending country, calls them back. And that's what's going to happen with us one day. We're going to be called out of this world. One way or the other, we're going to go to be with our Heavenly Father. But I would encourage you, as an ambassador for Christ, as a saved person, do not get discouraged to the point that you quit sharing Jesus Christ as Savior. Do not get to the point of getting discouraged and saying, "What's the use?" Keep on keeping on. Keep on going for the Lord Jesus Christ. because it's He is the one that we're to be exalting. You remember John the Baptist in verse 30 of John chapter 3 said, He must increase, but I must decrease. We need to step back. That is, we need to step back with ourselves and let God be the one who is preeminent. Let Jesus Christ be the preeminent one in our lives. Let people see Jesus more than they see us. Present Him as Lord and a Savior. Well, John chapter 3, it ends in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. There's that word everlasting again. It means forever. There is no getting around that word, everlasting. It means forever. He that believeth on the Son, and that's Jesus Christ, hath everlasting life. We don't have to wait because we've got it right now. We've got everlasting life because Jesus Christ has given that to us. It's by His shed blood on the cross of Calvary that our sins are forgiven. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, no remission of sin. Well, Jesus Christ shed His blood, and that blood not only covers the sin of those individuals who call upon Him to save them, not only covers that sin, it takes it away. It's as if you've never sinned once that blood is applied, once you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, according to John 3:36. But now here's the contrast. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. In other words, the wrath of God is abiding on the individual today who has never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They don't have to wait to be condemned. They're condemned already. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. How sad it is that there are people walking about today with the wrath of God on them. And I would liken it to a person walking dead. In other words, a person who has breath in them right now, that human being, man, woman, walking around, who is alive right now on the outside, but inside they're dead. Dead people walking around without Jesus Christ. We become alive when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. How do I know that? Because the first part of that verse, in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting what? Life. That life is right with them right now. They're alive right then. That means they have everlasting life, and nobody can take that from them. Now, in John chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, let me remind you, there are no discrepancies in the Word of God. There are no conflicts. You say, well, in chapter 3, it tells us that Jesus baptized. Now, notice, in verse 26 of chapter 3, and they came, this is John's disciples now, they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Well, in chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Well, if we stop to think now just for a few moments here, how that John got his authority to baptize. His authority to baptize came from God. He would not have gone about baptizing individuals without the authority of God. Well, who is God in the flesh? Jesus Christ. So therefore, I see no conflict here when it says, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples. Now, his disciples would have received their instruction in order to baptize from God himself. That would be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave them the authority. And when we go about doing something for the Lord, we are doing it, but it's God working through us that makes it happen. In other words, when we tell other people about getting saved, how to be saved, and so forth, when we do anything for the Lord, it's He who works through us and gives us the ability or the power. It's not our power, it's His power. So we see Jesus Christ here giving the authority as God, giving the authority to his apostles, to his disciples, to baptize individuals. In other words, it would have been in his name, because he is the one who gives the ability. He's the one who gives the power. He gives the authority. You and I should never take upon ourselves something to do apart from the power of God. We should never take upon ourselves to go forth and tell others about Christ without the power of God being upon us and doing it in Jesus' name. We need to let Jesus work through us. And I believe that so many people today are not allowing the Son of God to work in their lives. And it's the saved people I'm speaking about. They're not allowing Jesus Christ to be exalted. And by doing that, they're saying, Lord, you have not given me what I need in order to serve you. And we know, of course, that by studying the Word of God, that he's given us everything we need in order to serve him, to bring honor and glory to him, because he's given us the Spirit. His Spirit lives within us. Every person, when they get saved, they have the Spirit of God dwelling within them. How do I know that? Well, the Bible says, if any have not the Spirit, they are none of his. What's that mean? If you do not have the Spirit of God, that means you've never been saved. But if you've asked Jesus to save you, if you've repented and had that change of mind to be willing to go God's way and received him as your Lord and Savior, then you're saved and you have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. The sad thing is that a lot of times we do not let the Spirit of God control us. And we as saved people, we need to let Jesus Christ control us, to let the Spirit of God control us. And when we do that, we are acting in his stead. He's given us the authority to go forth and tell other individuals that he saves, that Jesus Christ saves. So there are no contradictions here in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, because it was as though Jesus Christ was doing the baptizing, although the physical part was being taken care of by his disciples. It was under his authority that people were being baptized. Now, verse 3 of John chapter 4, it says, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. Jesus Christ, wherever he went, he would tell people how to be saved. It made no difference where he was at or who he told. He was letting people know who he was and what he could do for them. It says he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He took the gospel himself to individuals. It made no difference where he was at, where he was going. He told people about himself, how that he was the one who could save. Verse 4 says that, and he must needs go through Samaria. Well, now we see Jesus Christ going into an area that the Jews considered to be off limits. The Jews would not agree with Jesus Christ going to Samaria because they looked upon the Samaritans as dogs. These Samaritans were half Jewish, and of course the other half would be Gentile or just an ordinary person. But the Jews looked upon these people as dogs. They did not deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus Christ says that all who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. And we'll read here how that Jesus Christ took the gospel and people got saved because he took time to go through Samaria.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.